Are you willing to accept Christ's invitation to know Him more intimately, love Him more intensely, and follow Him more closely, and then go out into the world and live His good news? If you say yes, then you could be the 13th apostle. Join Dan Duddy and Tom Caffrey, the odd couple of Catholic radio, as they ride the radio waves two by two to share the goodness, beauty, and truth of Jesus Christ and His church. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the 13th apostle.
So many of us have received inspiration from the Blessed Mother, and those in the arts are definitely no exception. She evokes such strong emotions, as any mother should, especially when we see her as nurturing, loving, tender-hearted, non-judgmental. It's just, when we see her, we think of Mary, it's love. It can be tragic love, too. When we see the great sculptings such as the Pietà, certainly the original in Rome, the great paintings such as the Madonna of the Magnificat by Botticelli, and, you know, of course, great hymns such as Ave Maria, Salve Regina, and Mary, Did You Know? So as a play on the title of that last hymn, did you also know that Eric Clapton, the famed blues rocker, recorded a song titled Holy Mother? Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the 13th Apostle, where we explore the good, beautiful, and true of the Catholic faith and the Catholic Church. This is Tom Caffrey with my partner, Dan Duddy. How you, Dan?
Hey, Tommy. How you doing, buddy?
All right. You're looking good tonight.
Yeah? In what way?
I think you just exude this holiness. You know, I don't know, solid, raw strength.
Wow.
I'm not sure.
Maybe it's the color. I have a lot of color now. I've got a lot of sun. Look, I got my teeth fixed. Maybe that's it. I'm smiling.
I didn't notice.
When I was 18, I never thought I'd ever say I got my teeth fixed. It must be it.
I'd never heard of that song. I told you that. I never heard it. I never heard of it. What happened was it was last Saturday night. That day I was in the hospital visiting my sister, who unfortunately, is still in the hospital. When I got home to unwind, I turned on YouTube and I saw this, I guess they call them thumbnails. I don't know, these images with a title or something like that, on YouTube. I guess everybody knows that. I see Eric Clapton on there and I see Holy Mother. Now, I don't know why Eric Clapton came up on this feed because I never put his name in. And I said, Holy Mother. And I said, wait, I wonder what that's about. And so I click on it. It's one song of a concert that he did. I don't know whether it was his concert or he was a guest. I think he was a guest. Well, they got a choir that clearly has a lot of soul and a lot of rhythm. Luciano Pavarotti, he comes out first, actually, and he's applauding Clapton. Now, I don't know, for those who don't know Eric Clapton, he was very famous. Blues rocker for decades, considered one of the greatest guitarists, electric guitarists of all time, and very, very distinctive voice. And he starts hitting these chords with the guitar. Immediately, the chords got to me. And then he started singing with that voice, powerful voice, and the raw emotion. And I was blown away by this song. And then when Pavarotti joined in, it just was really magnificent. I thought, this is really amazing, because when I was with my sister in the hospital, everybody was looking around for the rosary beads that were my mother's, who's passed away a few years ago. And so Carolyn, my sister, she got the rosary beads, or she asked for them, or my mother gave them to her. And so she apparently, from what she told me a while back, that she's been praying them. Her husband finally found them later. They were somewhere else. So I thought, wow, this is amazing. So I read the history of that. I read the background of that song. I read the lyrics, first of all, extremely powerful. And the history, the background, where he was at his lowest point in life, at that time, I guess I think this was in the late 90s, drugs, alcohol, just, and he was in a motel room and it seemed like it was, close to the end for him, end of the line. And a couple of things happened. Out of the depths, oh Lord, I cry out to you, but he's crying out to the Blessed Mother. When I read the lyrics and then I read the history, I get a little chills right now just thinking about it, especially on top of being with my sister and the rosary there. So you knew about it though, right, Dan?
Yeah, I did. I've been following Eric Clapton since my high school days, since the early to mid 70s, when he was coming onto the scene. And he was coming on as much more known as a gifted guitar player. And then he started to get more vocal roles with the bands he was with, and that voice started to really, really develop. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit to where he was with Pavarotti. What I found interesting was, and this is the way we are as created people with our own, charisms. Pavarotti was stunned by his ability to play electric guitar, and you wouldn't think that a guy like Luciano Pavarotti would have a level of interest in that. But sound, beautiful sound is beautiful sound, right, Tom? And Pavarotti was very, very touched, not only by him stepping in and playing that crying guitar that he plays in this song, but that the voice bellowed out. And he bellows that song out on a higher octave than he does typically in his songs. He's very skilled like that. But there's quite a story of Eric Clapton that many of us don't know. And by the grace of Eric Clapton's humility, we hear his story that he suffered with pretty serious, like, identity issues growing up. According to Real Life Stories, a magazine article, I'm holding up quotation marks by a guy named Ruben, that he is the son of a brief relationship, a very brief relationship, between a Canadian soldier and his young mother. And he actually grew up for quite a long time and thinking was under the impression, belief that his mother was actually his older sister. And at some point that news was broken to him, and he was raised by his grandparents. So he had really come from under and out of some difficult times. But the Holy Mother story, as you just said beautifully, he was struck in by, I think, Purple Rain by Prince, the artist Prince, and brought him to his knees amongst a whole lot of beer cans in a hotel room. I know, we know with all of our heart that, we have one God and there's one Blessed Mother. I mean, gosh, Elvis Presley, I found, wrote a song about the rosary. Are you aware of that, Tom?
No.
Wrote a beautiful song about the rosary. So here we have the one mother and the one God, and when we get to our knees, we rumble through the rubble, and we get to our true humility. The truth smacks us right between the eyes. So it kind of brings me to another revelation of Saint Augustine when, and I'm paraphrasing, where he said, God, we are made for you, and my one heart, or the one heart, is restless until it, rests in you. Keyword, one heart, meaning the whole community of every a community of Christ for eternity before us and eternity after is one heart. And this was a revelation of such, Tom? So here you have Luciano Pavarotti and whatever his history is, and you have the history of Eric Clapton just coming out in this beautiful Holy Mother in complete unity with a guy with a completely different style. I mean, is that creation at its best or what? It's a beautiful story.
It is beautiful. It's like, it's like when I say, about our conversations and whatnot, you have Dan ingredients, I have my, Tom ingredients, you play Dan music, I play Tom music, and that we have these conversations, or when we meet, whenever we're doing something together, we do retreats or whatever it is, there is a new creation. It's the same thing, different tools, but it's the same thing with Clapton and Pavarotti. And I would have been fine with Clapton's version. I mean, I have heard subsequent to that, I have heard his own version, just doing it by himself. I imagine that it's, whenever we go through something very, very difficult, whatever strikes that chord in our head and our heart, to have a memory of that difficulty, it can be great things, but usually the deepest emotion is when it's a great struggle, when it's a great difficulty, and it's great suffering. And so I imagine, I wonder whether every time he plays that song, or has played that song since he first wrote it and first recorded it, that each time he's brought back to that motel room. And it's so powerful, it's so beautiful to know that you look at that on the chart, you look at the graph and you see that the line representing his life is going down, down, down. Right at the time, if we were printing out a chart, we would see where that line starts to go up. That's the experience with, as you say, with Prince and Purple Rain, and then this revelation, this personal revelation, and writing the song Holy Mother. And yet this is kind of, he doesn't know it's preparing him for what happened 4 years later.
There you go. Yeah, you're really hitting me right where it hurts in a positive way. And hurt is the key. And it's the hurt that brings us to the crucifix, which brings us to Christ. And Christ promises he brings us to God the Father in heaven. But 4 years later, look, I knew he had a drug and alcohol addiction. His songs were flopping and he disappeared here and there and he was no longer on tour and things like that. But, I didn't know about Holy Mother at the time. And I think it had to do with where my heart was too. Like I wasn't really listening for things like that. So that happens. And then 4 years later, he loses his 4-year-old son, right, Tom? His 4-year-old son actually fell out of the window way up on floors,
53 floors.
53 floors, my goodness. Custodian, janitor, or cleaner had left the window open temporarily, and the gosh, it's hard to even say it. And the 4-year-old fell out the window. And in my heart of hearts, I was thinking, oh, we're going to lose Eric Clapton completely. How is a man who has suffered with drug and alcohol addiction ever going to, come through this? And he came through it quite beautifully with a really beautiful song too, as many of us know, perhaps even more, is Tears in Heaven. And that was, one top 100 hit or top number one hit for a long time. And now looking back, having done this episode with you, it's because of the Blessed Mother. Like once his knees hit the floor that day and he joined hands with Our Lady, Holy Mother, and then he lost his son so tragically. He was already there. He was living the tragedy of the crucifix through the Holy Mother, through the Blessed Mother herself, And it's really quite a revelation of what faith does for us. He's a living example of it.
Yeah, it's such a compelling, really saga. Each of us have had our great difficulties, and many of our in our audience may have had very great difficulties, great suffering. But the good thing The good, yeah, the good, beautiful, and true of the Blessed Mother is that we don't go to her to try to think it out, to figure it out. You know, we're not wrestling with this stuff with the Blessed Mother. We just go to her.
Yeah,
You know, and
that's
she's
true.
not philosophize with us.
Yeah.
You know, that's for another time. But sometimes you just need to pour out your heart. Your brain is not in it at all. You're just pouring out your heart, and she's the one who can take your tears.
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. I want to say, I want to climb right in with you, man to man. I can only speak for myself, but I trust that other men do agree with me or have had this same feeling. I have a tendency to go to masculine saints when I'm really, really hurting, you know? And sometimes it's like banging my head against a wall. I'm just not getting my answers. I'm not getting that good feeling that I need to get. And I'm like, wow, I have a mother in heaven. And then when I hit the floor with my knees, or I go to the chapel, and I get in front of, her statue where I can really like feel her and see her and see her love. It's a whole different feeling. You know, Peter doesn't do that for me. You know, Ignatius of Loyola just doesn't do that for me. But the love of the mother, and I reach my hands up and I imagine her hands in my hands, the softness of her hands in my hands, and her eyes and her voice. And we are children, no matter what we think we are at age 70, coaching
That's
football
right.
40 years. You know, it's just like, oh, mother. And sometimes I say, Mom, oh my gosh, Mom, please, just please hold my hand and don't let my hand go. I'm really, really hurting. You know,
Oh, yes.
here we have, I just want to read this to you with that
Yeah,
being said. Here we have Elvis Presley, right? You know, the Mr. Wiggle Hips, whatever you want to call him, and the girls are all screaming and stuff, and his drugs and his alcohol. And he writes this in his first, I'll lead into it. This is his song that he put on an album. Oh, Blessed Mother, we pray to thee. Thanks for the miracle of your rosary. Only you can hold back your holy son's hand long enough for the whole world to understand. And then he writes, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, please pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death, and give thanks once again for the miracle of the rosary. That is the song that Elvis Presley wrote. It's called The Miracle of the Rosary, and it's on one of his albums. You know, the world doesn't put that out there much, Tom, huh?
I never knew about that.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
Yep.
I mean, I can see, especially with again with how he had to live and when everything went crazy. You know, he's kind of like Michael Jackson, where they had to live such secluded lives. You know, they had to build their own movie theater into their mansions or whatnot because they couldn't dare go. The public abuses these famous people. That's really amazing, though. I didn't know that at all. Wow, I'll have to look for that afterwards. Make a great point about, you know, not being able to go to Peter at that time.
Right.
When you need to pour your heart out, that's what mother figures are for. Well, you know, whether somebody's a woman's a mother or not, they are mother figures, and God puts in to each woman the potential for all the ingredients for motherhood. And that's part of their identity. It's part of their essence. And they can do that. I know plenty of women who don't have children who are just the tenderest of hearts. They can bind the wounds. And then you can go back to Peter.
That's
Then
right.
you can work out. Then I can have a deep discussion with Thomas, St. Thomas. You know,
Amen.
it's amazing that we have Mary because, you know, there's so much attached to God and God the Father. We're going to be judged by Jesus. Everything in the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament, about God and the and justice, but still merciful. No, always merciful, but still a lot of justice. We think of the patriarchs and whatnot, and they're given the battle cries and stuff like that, all the warnings, everything like that. So, but then we have Mary, because sometimes we need that.
We do.
We need that tenderness.
Yeah. We also cannot understate her immense strength. The yes that she gave us, as a virgin, and that's another whole five episodes or more. The exile, the flight that her and Joseph took, and the giving birth to Jesus in the deplorable conditions, and seeing her son crucified. You can't overstate the strength of the mother. And we as men, I can tell you personally, and I know you'll agree, is, we like to get to the edge of our comfort zones as we grow, especially when we're feeling that virile, like 18-year-old, 19-year-old guy, and you're starting to feel your oats. But the more you get to the edge of your comfort zone, it's like standing on the edge of a cliff. You get nervous, and I'm talking about the edge of our comfort zones as far as masculinity goes. And there are times when you get to the edge, you get banged up, and you lose a little confidence, you get a little insecure now and then. And I remember going back to my dining room table at age 21, 22, and sitting there talking to my mom. My mother was tough, man. She didn't throw around compliments too much, but it was so timely, just what I needed to hear it. Somehow she must have saw something, just like Our Lady, the Blessed Mother, does. She'll say, Hey, Dan, something I just want to tell you, you're a good man. You have a lot of strength. And I'm like, wow. Like, more powerful than my father's, firm handshake and pat on the back. I just wanted to run through a brick wall after my mother told me that,
know.
Because it came from her. It comes from the mother. And there's tenderness in there all the time, really, even though she's Jersey City Irish and, smoking a cigarette while she's doing her novena. But there's something so special. How about your mom, Tom? I know you have, tell me some
I'm
things.
tempted to
You
say
just
that
lost your mom recently. Go ahead.
unlike your mother with smoking cigarettes, my mother had a spittoon. Just kidding, Mom. Well, she bounced my father. My father was a tough guy, no bones about it, tough disciplinarian. Tenderness was not a word I associated with my father. And I don't say that as a complaint. Now, I did complain many times when he lacked that tenderness, and he had other emotions and other behaviors toward me. But my mother, she was a tender one. She was tough though too. I mean, like your wife, Maura, she had eight children, and
I'll say it out loud. She had seven C-sections, my wife. When we had our fifth child, I was with Maura. And you go back to what you're saying, but I need to say this. The doctor said, Maura, we need to do something here. You're in a danger zone. You can no longer have children. And they wanted to do something then to stop her from having children. And Maura said, if you touch me, I'll kill you. And we had three more.
that's quite a story.
Go ahead, though.
I don't know. I have to ask my sisters if I don't recall my mother having. There was never a word of a C-section with my mother. But that was also a different time too. When she died, she was 97. So, listen. This is the unconditional. We talked about we're going to stand before Jesus and God as judge. There's none of that with Mary. It's unconditional. And of course, what's nice in the wedding of Cana, the first miracle of Jesus' ministry, she just is do what he tells you, even though he's saying to her, Jesus is saying to his mother, what is this absence of wine, this shortage of wine? What does it have to do with me? And now's not my time. And it doesn't say that she said, oh, go on with you. She just went on. And I think that's another example of that great faith of hers to accept what God had wanted for her and wanted for us. And she agreed to that. She said yes to that. She had great faith. And she had great faith in her son. John's gospel doesn't go back and forth about, they had a discussion or she had a nag him or anything like that. She just turned around and said to all the servers and whatnot, do what he said. He'll tell you what to do. Just do what he says. And probably just walked away, with, this confidence in her step. And not looking back, she was smart. I'm sure she was smart. She didn't look in the rearview mirror at her son.
That's right. That's a great visual right there, brother. She also knew that he was going to honor his mother and father, because he was walking the talk.
Yeah, she knew he was going to do it. What's the point of turning around and looking at he's gonna he, what could he do? He couldn't do anything. For all we know, he was stewing a little bit, just for about a few seconds,
Oh, sure. Yeah, the son of man was definitely there. Well, he said, woman, right? It's not my time, right?
Yeah, that's
Bishop Fulton Sheen said the reason why they're out of wine is because the 12 were at that wedding. Which it's another way to bring those guys, to that 3D that you and I love.
Oh my gosh.
It's another interesting thing I picked up with you and me going into this episode today was Edgar Allan Poe. Perhaps one of the gloomiest, most macabre horror writer, suspense, dark themes, but he actually had a devotion to Our Lady too. And he, in an age where Protestants either had no idea what Catholics actually believed, and if they did, they didn't like it. Because, especially when it came to Our Lady. But he wrote a poem called "Hymn," Tom. Do you know that? Edgar Allan Poe, it's about Our Lady. Yeah, let me read it. I know we got a couple minutes. This is Edgar Allan Poe. At morn, at noon, at twilight dim, Maria, thou hast heard my hymn. In joy and woe, in good and ill, Mother of God, be with me still. When the hours flew brightly by, and not a cloud obscured the sky, my soul, lest it should truant be, the grace did guide to thine and thee. Now when storms of fate o'ercast, darkly my present and my past, let my future radiant shine with sweet hopes of thee and thine.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Edgar Allan Poe, man. Look at all the light and the brightness in that.
That is beautiful.
And it's to Our Lady.
What's the title of that, Dan?
It's simply called Hymn, H-Y, Amen.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, isn't that something? Considering the source,
yeah, definitely,
and how and what he was conveying or portraying intentionally in his writing.
And we think we know these people. We should know this by now.
Yeah.
We don't know people. It's always right. Getting to know people.
Amen.
You know? And I had no idea that Clapton had written anything like this and would write anything like this. And you know, you're just blowing my mind open there with Edgar Allan Poe. And, you know, it's interesting to just. Before we wrap it up, to look at how the religion of Islam looks at Mary. I mean, she is deeply venerated. In fact, there's more references, many more references to Mary in the Quran than in sacred scripture. There's very little in sacred scripture.
Right.
They just hold her in such high regard in terms of her relationship with God and then her relationship with her fellow man. It's really amazing to see if you put them side by side, the references, not just in their respective sacred scriptures, their holy books, but their qualities that they associate with them outside of the Quran. It's pretty amazing. And it makes me shake my head at how wrong things have gotten. When you look at all the great things they say about Mary and all the hostility and violence that happens. But Mary is for everyone.
Exactly. One good, one beautiful, one true. This is the story this episode is, I think, conveying to us.
Yeah.
It's all one heart, as Augustine tells us. One heart will rest in thee.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for all sinners.
Now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Amen. What's coming up next, Danny?
Yeah, stay tuned for the Angelus and your prayer intentions with Peter and Jemmy.
And WQPH, Queen of Perpetual Help.
Yeah.
WQPHradio.org, captained by Mary.
Mm-hmm. And, there we go.
Wow, it's amazing.
That's
it's all meant to be.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Gene and James, for your help and the whole crew. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your support. We need it. We welcome it. We love it. God bless you, Danny.
God bless you, Tommy, and God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to The 13th Apostle with Dan Duddy and Tom Caffrey. For more information on Dan, visit his website at www.danduddy.com or email dcduddy@gmail.com. Tom's website is faithpilgrims.com or email trcaffrey@faithpilgrims.com. How about you? Will you be the 13th apostle?